Hi, this is Amy Beheimer, and you are listening to The Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health, Habit 44, Be Fabulous in Flats with Kelly Gastis. Before we jump into today's habit, I want to take a minute to share something I put together just for you. If you've ever wondered, Amy, what are the top, most critical, inflammation-lowering, cell-loving, disease-modifying habits? I walk you through my top six habits for feeling better with autoimmune disease starting today. And I do it in my free resource at www.amybeheimercoaching.com/6-habits. In it are six short video lessons and a place to take guided action, which is the secret to change. The link is also in the show notes. Grab it now and you'll gain energy and clarity needed to make health happen with these six key habits. On to today's habit. Welcome to the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health Podcast. You're in the right place if you want to be and feel healthy, no matter what your diagnosis, and you're open to using habits to get there. It's time to shift from managing your autoimmune disease to creating autoimmune health. I'm your host, Amy Beheimer, a coach and a doctor of pharmacy on a mission to feel healthy with multiple sclerosis. Each week, I'll be sharing evidence-based information and real-life inspiration from my life, my guests, and my clients. All habit heroes brave enough to turn a desire for health into daily decisions to create it. Get ready for the what, why, and how of habits proven to do your mind and body good. Here, we make changes in a way that feels amazing so they last. Let's have some fun. Hi, everybody. Amy Beheimer here. I'm joined today by Kelly Gastis. She is a multiple sclerosis warrioress. She's been living with an autoimmune illness for 27 years and always has been told that she just has to share her story. And she was finally ready. She wrote Fabulous in Flats for MS patients and autoimmune sufferers, for those who deal with an illness on a daily basis. It's lighthearted with personal stories, humorous moments, and all the tips and tricks that she incorporates in her daily life. She shares how to manage being a vibrant woman, a working mom, with day-to-day struggles that flare up. Welcome, Kelly. And I have to say that I can vouch for that. I am lucky enough. I have a copy of Fabulous in Flats, and it's been so fun to get a little bit of your personality and share from your wisdom on the pages. So I'm so thrilled that you're here to fill our ears as well.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. I've been listening to your podcasts and I'm excited to be on the show.
Hey, so much wisdom to share. That's awesome. I'm so honored that you've been listening. So before we get started, your book is called Fabulous in Flats. Give us a reason or give us a little bit about what it means to be fabulous in flats.
I came up with the book name because with MS, we go through so many life changes. And one of the things that I just recognized for myself was I had to change the shoes I was wearing. I couldn't wear my nice heels, or I couldn't wear my little heels or my sandals. It sounds really silly, but when then you really were reduced to now wearing flat shoes or running shoes every day, it does affect your mind, whether you acknowledge it or not. And I love playing with words and things that just sound neat together. So I thought, you know what? I might be wearing a dress, not with heels, but I still look fabulous in flats.
I love that. And you mentioned it may seem silly. I think that if you're listening to this show, you know how not silly that is. Mm-hmm. And how important that reframe is, because I'm like you, I had to have a moment. It's been probably 7 or 8 years, but I officially became somebody who does not wear heels. And finally I was able to let them go and they were able to find new homes because there's a little bit of a grieving process with that.
Well, and I think in the beginning of my book, I write a cute little story of, like, as a little girl, you see your mom. You know, when you walk around, you see your daughter walking around in your high heels. They don't fit her. So it's sort of something that's ingrained in us as a female, you know, and then just to be able to now accept, okay, I have to make this life change. It's a simple change, but it is one that does take an emotional toll on you.
It does. And it doesn't have to mean anything about our fabulousness. So I love that you remind us of that.
Thank you.
Well, good. Well, share with me, share with the audience, just a bit about your autoimmune story. What do we need to know?
I would say my story starts a long time ago. So it's been about 27 years. I was diagnosed when I was 25. It was a very quick process into the MS world. I didn't know anything about it. I had never really heard anyone who had ever had it. And back then it was in the 90s and we didn't have the social media or any information around it. The day of diagnosis was a very full day. I was put right into a research program. I didn't know I had any other alternatives. So I did that. And I felt lucky that I got to do that because it was free, which I was 25. I didn't have any money. So it was those types of things that I felt like I was very lucky. And then just after a few years, I found that the research program wasn't working. So I went on to a drug. I found that the drug wasn't working. I was getting very defeated. I was getting very overwhelmed. I was lucky enough to meet someone who guided me towards a homeopathic doctor. And he just showed me a different route I could take. And so that was the route that I have taken now for over 25 years.
Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I love this to be a place where we do a lot of and thinking. So not traditional or this, functional or this, lifestyle or this. You know, homeopathic is something that I don't know much about and that I don't talk about much. So thanks for giving a voice to that piece of it, both in your book and here as it being another option. So you kind of mentioned that these various things weren't working. So what symptoms, or I like to call them reminders of your diagnosis, did you have back then? And do any remain today?
Yeah, my symptoms are very different. So that was more in the beginning where I would get flare-ups. And the flare-ups each time were different. Maybe it would affect my legs one time, another time it would affect my hands, another time it would affect my eyes. It was sort of the whole realm of what different flare-ups bring. And they just kept happening consistently. So I just felt that for me, the drug wasn't working because I thought they were supposed to be reducing the flare-ups. And I didn't find that they were. So I was getting very disheartened. Once I met this other natural, like the homeopathic, and he was able to give me a remedy that helped to reduce my flare-up in the same way that, say, a steroid would, that really shocked me. And so I really wanted to look into that. So I did. So, and now I would say that I'm more just because it's been over 20 years, I've more had just not a constant, but just my left side has been weaker. So, and it sort of stayed at this place, probably, I want to say for like probably about 5 years. And it's just, it's in weakness. It's drop foot. I use a cane. But my energy is okay. Everything else is really just my left side. And I notice it at the end of the day versus like in the morning, I'm much more vibrant. I have much more energy. It's kind of as the day progresses. I tend to stay really busy, which is also that's my problem because I like to be busy. I like to be constantly doing things. So I have to be reminding myself like, okay, Kelly, you need to sit down for a little bit. You need to just stop moving or stop over doing it.
Yeah, well, like you said, you do, it doesn't sound like you struggle with that fatigue, that chronic fatigue that so many people do, especially at the beginning. And so, yeah, we want to keep going. I'm definitely one of those that stays busy and keeps going, so I can relate.
Yeah.
And I love that you said your left side, mine is my right side.
Okay.
And so when I meet someone that it's kind of on the left side, I always have this image of how together we could form a really strong body.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, complement each other well. You know, and something else that this is kind of bringing up for me is that some of these lifestyle habits and things that you write about in the book and that we will talk about today, those things really seem to help the most with that fatigue and that mental clarity and brain fog. Do you find that to be the case with maybe being a reason you don't have as many of those types of symptoms?
Do you know, I can see that being definitely helping. I do have my daily habits that I like to do. And I do pay attention to how my body feels, how my brain is feeling. I know when I need to take a break. I know when I need to do something. I know when I don't need to do something. I don't push myself. And I try not to think about the negative. I try not to think about what I can't do. I try to think about, okay, what can I hand do? Like, what can I get done today? What needs to get done today?
Love that. Definitely in that mindset matters spoke of the habit hub. It all starts there. Absolutely. So you mentioned habits a couple times. What do you think or what do you believe about habits in general, since this is the habit hub?
I think habits are very important for your daily routine. I think they keep you consistent. They keep you motivated. They just help to bring some positivity into your life, because if you're not feeling that great that day, but you were able to complete two or three of your habits, or even one of them, then you know you can check that off your list and be, okay, you know what? I have done something
I love that. I love that. Have you always thought this way, or is it something you've kind of come to with almost 3 decades of living with this?
Jen, I probably almost always thought of this. I love lists. I love making lists. I love having charts. I love anything colorful. I love designing, you know, so I think all of that sort of plays into it. Maybe I didn't realize years ago that that's what I was doing, but I love having, you know, my daily to-do list. I love knowing exactly what I'm going to do, where I'm going at what time, you know, how I'm going to get there. It's almost like it was already ingrained in me. And then just with, you know, having an illness now, then I more realize the health benefits that offers.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you love structure. I'm the same way. Okay, so let's do a little round of habit rapid fire so we can see in action what these habits are like in your life for somebody who is really thriving with MS and with an autoimmune disease. So what is a habit that you love that came super natural to you? You may have almost alluded to this a minute ago, the actual act of making habits. But aside from that, what else came natural to you?
I think what came natural was just scheduling it in. So making sure that I get it done, because I like to stay on top of things because I'm always doing so many things. I don't know if that's because I'm a woman or if it's because I'm a Taurus, but I like to stay busy. So it just allows having a habit allows me to keep on track and to be scheduling my day.
Okay. So really using your calendar.
Right.
Is there any certain...
I love calendars.
Do you like paper? Do you like electronic? Tell me everything.
I'm paper and pen.
Okay.
I love paper. I love colorful markers. So depending on what it is, I might write it in green. I might write it in blue. I love anything. Yeah. That's just surrounding me with colors and makes it creative and makes it fun. I love stickers. If I can add little stickers to my to-do list, because that just makes me happy. And, you know, I'll add little stickers.
I love that. And, you know, creativity is one of the character strengths in the field of positive psychology. And when we lean into and use our character strengths, we really can be healthier, happier, more productive. And so it sounds like creativity is a strength that you have that you really foster and lean into.
Yes. Yeah. I would have to say, yeah, I love being creative.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, next question. A habit that you had to work really hard to break.
I'm going to have to say reducing or eliminating things from my diet.
Okay.
I think that's a habit that's hard to break because it's something you've always eaten or it's something you enjoy eating. And I think it's also the mental thought process of like, is that really that bad?
Do Absolutely.
I really not eat that anymore. Like, look, everyone else around me is eating it. You know, so I think it was that was a hard habit to break, was just eating whatever the ingredient was just removing that. And I think then that's also where your mind comes into play.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're not alone on that one. I mean, food is so close to the emotions in our life. And so one of the hardest things to potentially shift. So what ingredient, I'm so curious, what ingredient was one of the toughest?
I think it was the very first one I was ever told to stop was dairy. And that was back when I first was diagnosed in the first couple of years. And I think it was more because at the age, I was maybe like, say, 27, I didn't understand. Yeah. I didn't have the knowledge. I hadn't read anything about how dairy was so phlegm producing, how dairy, just the things it does in our body. I didn't understand that because I was brought up, you know, have your glass of milk with dinner, have your cereal with milk, or just have your cheese, you know, that. So I think that was just a hard one when I was told. And I don't know why it was hard, but I think it's when you're told you have to limit something, then you sort of fight it.
Yeah, absolutely. A very human brain. And I have to say, when I'm working with people, they often ask, how do you get rid of cheese? You know,
yes.
That's one of the biggest fears that people do have. And A, not everybody has to get rid of it. There's different ways and everyone kind of decides what is on their list to get rid of. So I just want to highlight that. But I'm with you. I also avoid dairy and choose not to eat dairy. And it's everywhere. It really is everywhere.
Yes, it is everywhere. It's hidden in so many things that you just don't realize.
And I love that you said, you know, sometimes learning the what and the why behind it can really help us start to make that shift towards looking at it in a different way.
Yes, I agree with that.
All right. So that was one that you worked hard to break, but it sounds like it's no longer one you have to think about. You're just a person who doesn't eat dairy.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of that identity work is definitely helpful too.
Yes.
Okay. What is a habit that you had to work hard to make, but now it's on autopilot? You don't even have to think about it.
I think the one thing I really try to do every single morning is I stretch in bed just to start the blood flowing, to start getting a little bit of flexibility, just to get some movements, to get my endorphins started, to start feeling good. And they're very simple stretches, but it's just reminding myself, okay, just do these stretches. Either I do get out of bed because I go to the washroom, or I do something like that. But then when I come back before I get dressed, just make sure I do these simple stretches. And they're very simple, but they just help me to be grounded and to feel ready for the day.
I love that, because while I often stretch first when I get up, I've never thought about stretching actually in bed.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through what a couple of the simple stretches are?
Usually I'm laying and I hug my knees, you know, and I give them a nice hug, and I feel that stretch in my back. I feel it, you know, in my legs. Then I'll just let my legs fall to one side, and then I stretch out my opposite arm and look the other way. So I'm just sort of doing a bit of a twist stretch, and that stretches my hips. And I can feel it start to waking everything up. And then I'll switch to the other side and look the other way. Again, just the same twist, the twisting. But again, it's helping me. And sometimes when I'm doing them, I might be saying affirmations to myself. I might be, you know, encouraging myself for the day. And then I'll hug them one at a time. So then I'll just hug my right knee and straighten out my left and switch it just to get some more hip flexor stretching. And then I just feel like, I think it also just makes you feel like, okay, I've done something today. Like, you know, I've started my day with something. Okay, now let's get up, let's get dressed.
I love that, because I talk so often about micro moves and macro moves. And that is just a perfect example of not needing extra time, not needing extra equipment, not even needing extra energy, but still getting to live into that identity as a person who moves every day.
Right. Because I mean, there are some days you don't get to. And even if it's that your day is so busy, even if in the afternoon, if I go back and I'm upstairs, I'll do those stretches again, just to, you know, just to bring myself down if I'm getting stressed, or to bring, just to wake myself up again and just realize, okay, no, you've done a little bit more stretching. Okay, now go do the next thing you need to do, and you know, your day will flow.
I love that. I'm gonna try stretching in bed starting tomorrow.
You might want to move the sheets off so you're not get tangled, but yeah.
Yeah, love that. Okay, what is a habit that you're currently wanting to make or break, or that you're working on hardwiring?
I think another thing that I really want to be working more on is weightlifting, like just making sure that I'm doing the weights each day. And again, those don't take a long time. You don't have to work out for an hour at a time, even if it's 10 minutes, you know, 10 minute breaks throughout your day. I'm lucky because I have a home office, so I am working from home, so I can sort of stand up. And if I do walk around and do some movement, then if I look at my weights, I'm like, oh, you know what? I haven't done those yet today. Okay, let me do two sets of 10, you know, like, yeah, just to fill it in a little bit.
So it sounds like you're using, yeah, that strategy of convenience where they're in your eyesight, you see them.
Yes.
And you're telling yourself, this doesn't have to be a lot, but this is something.
Yeah, I love that strategy of convenience. That's exactly, because they're around me, so I see them.
Yeah. And I love this question, because, you know, all of us, no matter how long we've been at this habit game, no matter how long we've been focusing on our health, we all have things that we want to be even better. We can love what is and keep reaching for something else. So yeah, thank you for sharing that to help prove that we all thrive when we actually have something we're working towards.
You're welcome.
All right. So have there been any aha moments that jump out at you in your time with this diagnosis related to health or happiness?
I think, Jen, that's a hard question. I'm sure there's been lots of aha moments. I think it's just really, it's your mindset, and it's how you're dealing with it and how you're thinking about it, and not letting the negativity come towards you, because there's so much negativity out there. And it's just also realizing, like, people don't understand what you're going through, but don't take that as a negative. Like, they don't understand. So, and in my book, I've got some funny stories about that. Like, people are trying to be nice, you know, but it's not, they're not saying the right thing, but it's not that I would get angry at them for that. It's just me recognizing that, you know what, they're trying their best just like I am. So
I love that. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed it, but we could go back, and I think you've said the word lucky probably 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And what a beautiful testament to, it sounds like that feeling of gratitude, or the thought that you are lucky for something, sounds like it's a habit. It's a habitual thought. Gratitude is a habitual feeling that you don't even have to call on it anymore, because it's a habit. Does that feel true?
Yes, that feels true. Yeah. I mean, everything is hard that we go through, but I do feel lucky because I don't go through so much of what other people go through. So I do feel grateful for that. I do feel grateful that it's, I guess, helped me learn more about myself and it's helped me go inward. So it's not, I guess it's just something that, yeah, you just have to have a daily gratitude.
I love that. And that's how you just practice it. You know, if anyone's wondering, well, how in the world can I make it a habit to feel this? And we approach it just like any other habit. We practice it, we do the repetitions, and slowly we train our brain and we train our body what we want to think and what we want to feel and start to get to enjoy cultivating more of that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm definitely about making sure that I'm training myself how I'm going to feel. I won't put myself in situations that I don't feel good in. So I really dictate, you know, my day. And I do feel lucky. And each day I do gratitude. And even when I'm doing my stretches, if it's a beautiful sunny day, I'm like, oh, thank you for the sun today. You know, simple little things that just, you know, elevate your mood.
Yeah, I love that. And think for you, you know, if you're listening, what feeling inspires you to do the things you want to be doing? You know, is it gratitude? Is it hope? Is it curiosity? And, you know, and whatever that feeling is, make a plan to go get more of it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, make a plan to go get more of it. I think it's who you surround yourself. I have kids, they're teenagers. So I'm grateful every day. And I make sure that I have a positive mindset each day because they need to see that. They motivate me just as I might motivate them. So, I mean, people are always watching and, you know, just be the best person you can be.
I love that. I love that. You have an entire chapter in the book devoted to self-care. So tell us a little bit what self-care means to you and how we can get more of it in our life.
I think self-care, I think it's hard when you have an illness because you're so concentrated on your illness. Self-care, even whether you have an illness or not, it's just like everyone else. Like, I want to look good today. I'm going to take care of my hair. I'm going to do my makeup. Like those sorts of things. I know if I'm upset, how I can deal with that. If today is a day that I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm going to sit a little bit longer. I might drink my coffee or my hot chocolate and really enjoy it. It's just about recognizing, I guess, how I'm feeling that day and to make sure that I'm taking care of myself the best way that it is for me.
I love that. Thank you so much. Is there anything else, either from the book or anything else you want the listeners to know about, back to the title, about what it means to be fabulous and blessed?
I think I just want people to know that you still have the rest of your life. You don't know what's going to happen. So live every day and be fabulous. I see so many people so nervous about results or so nervous about what the next day might bring, but you can't live like that. You just have to make sure that every day is a fabulous day. And if you want to do your hair and do your nails, and it's just about taking care of yourself, doing the right thing for you. And just like I said, just make it a fabulous day. Like,
I love that. You know, and our brain is really good at finding evidence for what we tell it to go looking for. So what you shared is, what if it sounds like every morning you wake up and say, how can today be fabulous?
Yes. Yes, I try to. Yes.
Yeah, I love that. So in your opinion, what habit for health and or happiness has made the biggest impact in your life?
I'm probably going to say the exercise. Eating. I'm a firm believer in red light therapy. Okay. That I really see a benefit each day when I do that. That uplifts my mood. That uplifts everything. Light is so important for us, depending on where you live and what the season is. So I think it's just incorporating things and trying to follow through with all of them.
Well, that's beautiful. Because talk about balance. You mentioned food. That's a spoke of the Habit Hub. We've talked about mindset. That's a spoke of the Habit Hub. We've talked about movement more than once. We've talked about connecting with yourself, with your kids, connecting with the world. And you even mentioned red light therapy. So some of that good stress. So I really love how balanced your approach seems to be and how approachable it is.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. So I am going to include a link to Fabulous and Flats in the show notes if anyone wants to hear more of Kelly's really fun stories that really bring it home. And I know I could relate to so many, and I just appreciate your lightness that you bring to it, while at the same time, really practical information that we're just not seeing a lot elsewhere, especially, you know, you even write about essential oils and again, about the homeopathic solutions or ideas, obviously to complement anything else that we're working on. So thank you so much for sharing this with everybody and for coming on to chat with me.
Oh, you're welcome very much. And as I often say to people, if you read my book, you're really going to get to know me. So you're either going to want to be my friend or you won't.
I love that. Well, I want to be your friend. So that must be, I don't know if it's the couple times we've gotten to talk or if it's what I've read in the book, but yeah, you are an inspiration and I really thank you for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you for having me on your podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health. I am forever grateful for the time and energy you share with me. Are you ready to take what you learn here to the next level and apply it? Come visit me at amybeheimercoaching.com. That's www.amybeheimercoaching.com. I know firsthand that health is about feeling better today and doing all we can to enjoy a healthier tomorrow. Let's do both together. One last thing. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, where I just might cover the habit that your body has been waiting for. If you're feeling extra generous, please leave a rating and review. It really is the best way to help other warriors find us here. You can find me on Instagram at Amy Beheimer Coaching. Come follow. Special thanks to my editor, Sarah. Talk soon.